jealousy for the truth of Jesus. And so let me just take a moment to lay this out for you, reminding you 2 Corinthians 11, 2 through 4, where Paul says, "For I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband and to present you as one pure virgin to Christ." And it says, "I'm afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough." And this has kind of been our context of concern about this as we continue to make the statement that we believe that the revelation of who Jesus is, as he said, "Who do you say I am?" is the most warred on revelation and thing on planet Earth. The violence of the enemy, the deception of the enemy is working to deceive us centrally about one thing, and that is who Jesus is. That will then have a kind of domino effect of us knowing, having our faith off kilter, having our identity off kilter, having our mission off kilter, if we do not have a fresh and clear and pure revelation of Jesus. We see this all the time. We see it with pastors and missionaries and all kinds of folks, that they get off bubble of who Christ is. And so I'm concerned about this another Jesus and another spirit and another gospel. And you and I are seeing in our day the manifestation of those in multiple forms, but some that we're very familiar with. Last week, we looked at Jehovah's Witness. We looked at how Jesus was different among the Jehovah's Witness. And this week, we're going to look at the Mormon teaching, which some of you may be aware of. We share this. There's lots of cults in the earth, but I'm trying to share the ones that are among you so that you're equipped and ready for them. As we said last week, we're hoping that you'll hope that Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, that you'll be able to be equipped to share the gospel with them, and not in a fleshly way arguing, but in a way of compassion to draw them to Jesus so that they might be saved. The Mormons are among us. There's many of them, 15 million at least, that are in the Mormon religion. We've seen them run for office. We've got a meeting place for Mormons here in town. I was part of the Ministerial Alliance a few years ago, and they came up with a more clear statement of faith because they were concerned that the Mormon pastor was going to come and try to meet with us. And so they were trying to, you know, we weren't ready for that, and what would we do if he showed up, because our unity is not the same because it is a different Jesus. So just to give you a little backdrop on this and a few equipping points, it's just, there's no way to cover all this. The Mormon thing is so big, it would take you multiple sessions. But here's my 10-minute installment to kind of help you in the midst of this. Some of you may know this history, but the Mormon religion or teachings or church was started by the prophet, quote-unquote, Joseph Smith Jr. in 1820. He was the son of a father and mother who had both struggled with some occult practices, the mom in one way and the dad in another. They would do secret diggings and do seances and draw circles and various odd things that he had been around, so he already had the modeling and propensity toward some superstitious, supernatural kind of situations that are more than just the activity of man. They're often the activity of demon spirits. According to Mormon writings, on the day 1820, Joseph was in the woods and he received a vision from God the Father that he was the prophet to bring the church back from apostasy. And if you remember with the Jehovah's Witness, Charles Russell did the same thing. They believed that they were the ones to restore true Christianity in this day and this age. From that heightened, prideful place, he got a vision later, a few years later, the angel Moroni, came by his bedside and began to speak to him. And some of you know that history, but an angel of light. As 2 Corinthians 11 says, Satan often appears as an angel of light, appeared to him, and he had what I believe to him was a sincere, real experience. And I do believe it was real, but I believe it was malignant. It was malevolent. It was anti the kingdom. It seemed to be this growth of Christianity. Let us add to the Bible, and he was given these golden tablets. He wrote the Book of Mormon through a process of a period of time that he secretly said he got information. I believe, I really do, that Joseph Smith was probably very sincere, as are most spiritual people. But he was open, his antenna, if you will, was open to multiple spirits instead of the spirit of Jesus Christ. Because of the occult practices of the past, because of his own pride and ego, he was a great candidate to receive really what was a demonic encounter that looked like it was some righteous encounter that released a religion that actually has deceived millions and millions to this day for the last almost 200 years. The Book of Mormon itself is really a great plagiarism of the King James Version. A chunk of it's just clearly written down from there, and he said he got it all by revelation, and then there's other deceiving doctrines within it. He himself struggled, and I think every movement must look to its root. The root of our movement is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is a movement. It really is. And the righteousness and the purity of him is just awesome. Joseph Smith was married to 27 women, possibly 60 women, as he promoted polygamy and actually had some issues in his body of why he was doing those kinds of things and immorality, and had many, many children. And he justified that theologically, again, by the influence of demon spirits. And I want to say this because I feel this here. I think we all do not have to fear the enemy, but we all need to be on guard because the devil prowls around. Deceiving spirits are constantly trying to draw us away from the centrality and the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And they will often do that not just with an offer to drugs or sexual immorality. Often it'll be a deception with something good, something that will get us off kilter, and that's what happened here. He created a religion, and he was sincere and thought he was helping people and restoring the church. Remember, though, that a cult is a cult because of what they believe about Jesus. This is the litmus test. No matter how weird they may be, and I've said before, I've been called a cult leader. I've heard other people called cult leaders. They were just Christian churches because they didn't like the gifting of the guy, or they didn't like the way the group met, or the way they stewarded things. They're like, oh, that's a cult. I'm telling you, a cult is a cult only by what it believes about Jesus and its doctrine about God. So in the Mormon religion, Jesus is, and I don't know if you know this, was the result of a physical union, physical, between God the Father, who they believe has flesh and bone right now, and Mary. That's what happened in Jerusalem, or in wherever, Nazareth or Bethlehem, okay, Nazareth. There was a physical, literal union that produced Jesus, which is heresy and not in the Bible. They believe that Jesus is the spirit brother of Lucifer, who is Satan. They believe that he was created. Jesus was created. He's our elder brother, who was a man who then became God. They believe that Jesus had multiple wives. Your story in John 2 of the wedding at Canaan, and remember the wedding, the miracle about the wine? They believe that was Jesus' wedding. And we'll teach that, and that he had multiple, multiple wives. And that he is only one of many saviors, and that personal relationship with him is heretical. It's to be resisted as a false teaching, that he's not to be served that way. So look at that. That's what makes the Mormon religion a cult. I don't care how polished it looks, how holy it looks, and often it looks more holy and conservative than even the Protestant church. They're very conservative, very family-oriented, very all those things. But you can have all that. And if you're off on this, you're off on a road of deception, and that's what happened there. God the Father, as we said, is an exalted man. He was a man who became God, which is blasphemy, who literally has flesh and blood. There is no Trinity as we know it. They believe in three gods, and there can be many gods because you can become a god, but there's three gods, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who all have one purpose, but they're not one in essence, as the Bible teaches. They believe there is no hell and no eternal torment. Isn't that interesting? If you're watching pop culture theology today in the evangelical church, this is a major hit, a major deception that's coming into the church. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe it. The Mormons believe it. The enemy, when he promotes another Jesus, he also tries to remove the penalty of hell, the reality of hell. He doesn't want anybody knowing about it, anybody thinking about it, okay? And it gets removed. And it's clear in the biblical witness that there is an eternality and to torment and hell that those who do not receive Jesus. They believe that, man, you existed like a spirit. You were floating around with Jesus, your elder brother, ages ago, and then you got a body in time. That you have the potential to become a god, that you had no original sin, and that you trust in Christ for salvation to begin with, but you do not continue that way. You must earn your way into what they have as three levels of heaven. And so all of this is extra biblical revelation that is in the Book of Mormon, came from the experience of one man, multiple teachers, Brigham Young, you may have heard of that name, and other presidents of the Mormon religion continue to propagate these false teachings. They do believe that, and I've got a few things here I want to go quickly through, but they did believe that black people were black because they were cursed, because they did some bad sin in the when they were spirit people. Ridiculous stuff. They believe that salvation or exaltation, men can become gods, as we said before. They've practiced polygamy for a long history, even though they've tried to deny it as it became politically incorrect. They even tried to deny that Joseph Smith was that way or didn't have multiple wives, which is ridiculous. Look it up on Wikipedia. Look it up anywhere on the internet. There's a full list of the names of his wives, 27 to 60, somewhere in that range. It's an amazing thing. This is a religion that is a deception, and it's as polished as any false gospel that you've got among you. And many believers, when certain men ran for president, there began to be a normalization that maybe Mormonism is, you know, a Christian sect, and it is not. And I'm not saying this so you'll be angry and hate Mormon people. We have compassion for Mormon people like we do for Buddhists and Hinduists. We just believe that they're deceived and lost and do not know the biblical Jesus. And so this one's very important. I think Jehovah's Witness is what's showing up on your porch. And I want to say again, I'm so thankful for the Jehovah's Witness and for the Mormons coming to my house. As we said before, jokingly in the other place, it saves me some time in evangelism. Most of the time, you got to go find people. These people, these lost people are coming to you. And you can talk to them and love them. And we gave you coaching last week of how to do that. I have four encouragements for you of what you do with the Mormon nice-dressed person who shows up on your porch. Number one, as we said last week, you should lovingly and respectfully communicate with them that you believe they're deceived about Jesus and the biblical witness. You can do that with a smile on your face. You can do that without getting all red and acting like they're freaks. You can tell them, I love you. I'm so glad you're here today. By the way, I believe you're deceived about the real Jesus. My Bible says there are many Jesuses presented by the enemy, and I'm so glad you're here today that we can talk about this. Good luck saying that. Number two, we should lovingly and respectfully challenge them as to why is the Book of Mormon, why does it have so many differences from the Bible? The biblical witness. There are so many differences between the two as we have laid out doctrinally in the short thing we did there. Also encourage them to read, especially the book of Romans. They believe in our Bible, they say. They spend most of their time with their information out of the Book of Mormon. I encourage you to have them read the Bible. There are many testimonies of Mormons coming to Jesus on the internet. You ought to read them. They're really great. The predominant reason they come is they eventually read our Bible, the book of Romans and other places, and go, oh, the gospel, that's Jesus right there. And it's an amazing thing that they live in that deception when they've got the Book of Mormon and actually a better Bible than the Jehovah's Witnesses have at times around them. Number three, we should ask them if they know the confirmed history about their founder, Joseph Smith, and his controversial teachings, if they are aware of all that with him, without slandering, but asking them that. And lastly, number four, and so important, we should pray for them, hopefully on site. I hope you can pray for Jehovah's Witnesses on your porch. And you're praying specifically this prayer. Lord, we pray, Ephesians 1:17, give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of you. Break through and give light and knowledge into the revelation of who Jesus is, the full God-man. 100% God, 100% man, the glorious creator that is melded together, all that is God, all that is man in one person, and it's going to take us eternity to discover him and to know him. But you're praying that they could know Jesus, have revelation about Jesus, and they could be set free. Get their names. Pray for them by name. Lovingly share with them. Encourage them to have a Bible study with you, whatever it be. But we give you these notes as a short equipping, and pray that you'll have encounters with these guys and that you'll love them and you will not derade them and say, you stinking cult jerk. You know what I mean? You're just so dumb. What? That's not going to get you anywhere. What you want to do is lovingly pursue the truth. You can be loving and not compromise the truth. You don't have to be some bold, arrogant, in-the-way person to actually get the truth to people. You can be uncompromising about the truth of Jesus and still love them deeply, and pray that they get light in their hearts. Father, in Jesus' name I pray that you would bless the Mormon folks in our city. I'm asking for divine appointments with your people and these folks. I pray as the Muslims are having dreams at night about the biblical Jesus and converting, we pray that would happen here. We pray for divine appointments in grocery stores, on porches, everywhere, where we could testify to the good news of who Jesus is. Lord, bless them. Deliver them. I pray for a worldwide movement. Spirit of truth, invade the Mormon religion with revelation about who Jesus is. And we pray for mass conversion and that you would populate heaven with ex-Mormons. Lord, draw them to the good news, the saving knowledge of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you so much that you can do this today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.